repeated. We're looking at the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and I read the key text for all of us, starting from verse 4 onwards. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, right up to verse 11. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit listed here, and we have divided them nicely into different groupings, not necessarily in the order in which they appear in the Bible. But we have grouped together the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits in one group together, which we call the revelation gifts. And then the second grouping, we group them as the power gifts, and they are the working of miracles, gifts of healings, the gift of faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And then the third grouping is what we call the vocal gifts. Something is said. And they are the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. And each of the grouping, if you want to visualize them, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, you have to visualize what they look like, and we have to teach children, what are these grouping like? Visualize the eye. They see something. And God reveals something. And the second grouping called the power gifts, the gift of faith, working miracles, and gifts of healings, visualize the hand. And they do something. Not through human hands, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third grouping, gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues, they say something. So visualize a mouth speaking. This is the third grouping called the vocal gifts. And there are many books, good books about the gifts of the Spirit. There's one by Howard Carter, Kenneth Hagin, Gordon Lindsay. And some of these are very good books on the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we are taking a different approach tonight. And as we share about the gifts of the Spirit, there are other books that are not so good because they confuse between two categories, which I call spiritual growth, which is different from spiritual gifts. And so sometimes in some of the books when they talk about the spiritual gifts, and they, for example, they talk about wisdom, they will say that when Solomon had a dream and God appeared to him and said, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon says, give me wisdom to govern your people. And then he receives supernatural wisdom, which is from the spirit realm into his life. And some people say, well, that is the gift of the word of wisdom. It is not. It is the gift of spiritual wisdom. And spiritual wisdom can be obtained through prayer. Spiritual wisdom can be obtained through growing in God. Spiritual wisdom can be obtained through studying the Word. So these are not gifts, these are growth, I classify them. These are things that we can grow into. And 10 years ago, we will have less spiritual wisdom than this year. And if we continue growing this year, and over the next 5 years, we will have more spiritual wisdom than now, 5 years down the road. Because we all grow in spiritual wisdom. And anything that is a product of our growth, or our activity, whether natural or spiritual, is not classified as a gift. A gift is something that is instantaneously imparted without any merit from you. It's a gift of God, not depending on who you are, what you have done. It is just God's gift that He gives to everyone as His Spirit will. That is why a young Christian can operate a gift of the Spirit in a similar way as an older Christian. Because it's a gift, it's not dependent on growth. However, There is a definite difference when the older Christian operate and the younger Christian. What's the difference? Spiritual wisdom, experience, etc. And so we need to differentiate what I call the nigh growth of the Spirit, which is for every Christian, versus the nigh gifts of the Spirit, which is not for every Christian. I mean, not all of us have all the nigh gifts operating. We have some of the nigh gifts operating. And even that, I want to clarify that even though God may have two or three gifts of the Spirit operating constantly in your life, it is understood that in circumstances where the gift is needed and there's nobody else to operate it through, God may supernaturally, just for that one time, operate it through your life, although that is not your normal operation because of the need that is present. But outside of that, God would continually work a constant gift in our life. According to 1 Corinthians 12, it did say in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. That is, every one of us have a gift of the Spirit, at least minimum one. Now, what we differentiate tonight is the growth from the gifts. The growth is something that you attain and you grow, and you learn, you can nurture, it increases. It can increase in your life. The gift is something that just drops on you. The only thing that difference is you learn how to operate them better. But you don't really increase them in your life. It's just a gift of God dropping into your life. And of course, at different points in your life and ministry, the Lord can operate different gifts in your life. For example, Daniel probably never saw a vision until later on in his life. Most of the visions are recorded in the book of Daniel, which is 12 chapters. The first 6 chapters are historical. The last 6 are all prophetic. It looks like God operated a lot of revelation in his life towards the end time of his life. So that is possible. Gifts that are there when the time comes suddenly become more operational in our life through different phases. But why do we have to differentiate the two? It is so that we understand how to operate between these two and differentiate them. So let's give an example. Spiritual wisdom is not the gift of the word of wisdom. Spiritual wisdom, you can ask from God. In the book of James chapter 1, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God. And so God says, that's not a gift of the word wisdom. That is spiritual wisdom that every one of us can pray and ask for. You can seek God for, you believe God for it, and you will have spiritual wisdom come into your life. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed for the church to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So there's wisdom again involved. And so spiritual wisdom is different from the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is, which we are going to touch on later on, it's an instant impartation of a revelation of God. You didn't have it by growing. You didn't have it by nurturing. You just suddenly have it. And our definition, the word of wisdom, it's a revelation of things in the future. It just comes into you. A part of the wisdom of God drops into your life about what is to come. And when the Old Testament prophets prophesy and they see into the future, that is the word of wisdom. We will touch more on this when we go into the gifts one by one. Tonight we are covering the general nine gifts and its relationship. So spiritual wisdom is different from the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge is different from spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge can be increased and multiplied. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells us that the knowledge of God, the grace and peace be multiplied in our lives through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, knowledge can increase and we can grow in spiritual knowledge. And that growth in spiritual knowledge is not the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a revelation of things past or present instantly. Not something that you acquire or you learn. But it just drops on you as a gift of God operating in your life. And then there is a difference between discernment and discerning of spirits. That's where many people don't differentiate. And in some books on the gifts of the Spirit, they don't differentiate the two. Discernment comes out of your spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Discerning of spirits is a gift of God. What is the difference? Discerning of spirits is an ability that God gives you to see into the spiritual realm. To see in the spiritual realm. To see spirits. Whether they are angelic spirits, demon spirits, everything else. It's the ability to see into the spiritual world. And discernment, spiritual discernment, is found in Philippians chapter 1. When Paul prayed for the Philippians, that their love, in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 9, he prayed that their love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And that is different from discerning of spirits. And so discerning of spirits for the time being, look at it as seeing into the spirit realm. But there are various ways of seeing. That's why they use the word discerning, which we will touch on when we reach that particular gift. And discernment is different. It's just a spiritual ability to discern that comes out of the spirit man. Now, what is the difference between these two? You see, the gifts of the Spirit flow from the person of the Holy Spirit. Capital H, capital S. The Holy Spirit. Spiritual growth, like spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, and spiritual discernment, comes out of your new, born-again human spirit. Small H and small S. Can you see the difference? When we were born again, our spirit was new, born again. Now, our spirit man can grow. Correct. We all were born again. And then our spirit man can grow. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead. Unchangeable, unmovable, eternal. Always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And He imparts His power and His gifts. But the human spirit within us, the newborn again spirit, can grow. And remember when Paul spoke to the author of Hebrews wrote and said that by now, you know, they should have been mature and have their spiritual senses trained to discern good and evil. There you have it, spiritual senses trained to discern good and evil. And that's taken from the book of Hebrews. And chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. It says, Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those, in Hebrews 5 verse 14, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, Hebrews 5 verse 14 is same like Philippians 1 verse 9. It's not talking about discerning of spirits, it's talking about discernment. See the difference now. So discernment comes by growth. Discerning of spirits comes as a gift. And of course, the more your spirit man grow, the more you can discern. That's why the more spiritually mature you are, you have a greater ability to discern than a young little Christian who is just newly born again. So I differentiate the two. And then there is a difference between growing in faith and the gift of faith. We all know Romans 10 verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Bible did tell in the, Paul writing to the Thessalonians says that their faith has grown exceedingly. So there is a faith that we have, measure upon measure, that can grow. And that is a result of the growth of your human spirit. But the gift of faith is different. It's just an instantaneous impartation of the Holy Spirit supernaturally overshadowing you and enabling you to do something that you normally could not do before. That's the gift of faith. Powerful. And then there is miracle faith, which is different from the energizing of miracles or working of miracles, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you see, faith, these three realms, faith, growing faith, miracle faith, or faith for healing can come the more you experience God and the more you train. We know that some people got faith for finances, but they don't have much faith for healing. That's because they haven't meditated much on the Word of God in the area of healing, but they meditate on finances. And some people have great faith on they develop their faith in the Christian life for the area of healing, but they don't develop faith for other areas. And so faith can be many areas. And so some people, they meditate on the Word of God and they seem to have a greater ability to believe God in areas where others don't seem to be able to believe. That's because they grew in their faith to believe God in for the miracle area in their life. Personal miraculous area. And then healing faith. It's also the same. Now these two, miracle faith, healing faith, are related because they are growth by faith. And these are like verses like in James chapter 5 when it says, let those who are sick call for the elders and let them lay hands on them. Now here's a question. Either it implies that all elders have the gift of healing, or it implies that all the elders, who are supposed to be the pastors or leaders, have the faith to pray for healing. Right? That's the only two logical conditions for calling them. You wouldn't call somebody who cannot do something. So if you call the elders, it implies either all the elders have the gifts of healings, or it implies that all the elders have faith to pray for healing. Okay? And I would submit to you that it implies more that being elders and being so long in the Lord and knowing the Lord, they have faith to pray for healing. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that all these nine gifts of spirit comes as a spirit will. And I personally believe a person can be an elder and not necessarily have the gifts of healing, but he could have the gift of prophecy or something else. To make it a requirement for every elder to have the gift of healing is unscriptural. It's like pulling the Bible a bit too far on one side. So we drop that conclusion and we left with only one possibility, that all the elders have the faith to pray for healing. Now that prayer for healing in James 5 is not invoking the gifts of healing. It's invoking the authority of the church and the maturity of the Christians in the church to pray for healing. So that's different. That comes from their human spirit growth. And so you can see the contrast, the difference. And I'll show you why later we got a contrast. But let's look at the next one. There is the next area, the gift of prophecy has a similar counterpart in the human spirit, and that is prophesying and worship and singing of psalms. And that is what the Bible says, you know, unto yourself in Colossians chapter 3, I believe it was 16. It says, let the word of God dwell richly in you, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it's so similar to Ephesians 5 verse 18, which says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And I bring it forth to you that when someone moves into Colossians 3 verse 16 and Ephesians 5 verse 18, and they move in that dimension, you know, these both are the same. Cause they are not caused by the gift of prophecy. They are caused by, in Ephesians 5, being filled with the Spirit, which is something that every Christian can be. Ephesians 5 is something that every Christian can do and can be. It's not limited to one or two. And Colossians 3 verse 16 is something that every Christian can have. Every Christian can have be filled with the Word of God and be filled with some sins and spiritual songs. Amen. And so that refers to the prophesying and worship that comes as a result of your human spirit growing in God, that every Christian can have. See, the reason we differentiate this is this. If you don't differentiate between the growth of the human spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? Sometimes we confuse the two and we think the two are one. We don't realize that all these nine we are supposed to have. And we short circuit ourselves by saying, oh, I don't have discernment. Somebody else has to have discernment. Every Christian is supposed to have wisdom, knowledge, discernment, faith, and faith to pray for miracles, faith to pray for healing, whether the gifts of the Spirit are operating or not. Every Christian is supposed to be a worship God in sound scenes and spiritual sounds. Every Christian, you know, should be having all this and not short change themselves. Thank you. And so, on the other side, some will have, not everyone will have. So that's why we differentiate the two. And let's move on to tongues, or pray in tongues. There is a difference when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and God gives you the ability to pray in tongues to Him. Where Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit, small little s, my personal MY, my spirit, small s, prays. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit here. Although, of course, we all know everything is indirectly from the Holy Spirit. But it's talking specifically in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, there is the human spirit praying. I pray in the spirit, I pray in tongues, etc. And that is different from the gift of tongues. And let me illustrate the difference again. When you pray in tongues, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, your human spirit is praying in an unknown language to God. When you operate the gift of tongues under the power of the Holy Spirit, your human spirit is used by God to speak forth in a language from God through you to the people in the congregation. Can you see the direction is different? In a human spirit, you're praying towards God in an unknown tongue. Whatever tongues God gives you. In the gift of tongues, is God speaking to His people. One is upwards towards God, one is God downwards to His people. So there are two definite different areas we're talking about. And so praying in tongues, we can learn to pray in tongues more. We can learn all the different dimensions of praying in tongues. We can grow in praying in tongues. But the gift of interpretation of tongues, not everyone has. Now you see where the first Corinthians problem came in. Now you understand why the Corinthians had a problem. Their problem is they didn't differentiate between the gift of tongues and normal praying in tongues. See, the gift of tongues not everyone has. But the ability to pray in tongues, everybody has once the Holy Spirit fills them and their spirit prays out to God. And the Corinthians were having that problem in differentiating and Paul has brought bringing the teaching. And the same with personal interpretation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that if you pray in a tongue, and that you pray for the interpretation, the one who speaks forth. And his instructions in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says here in verse 15 to 16, it implies that you interpret your own tongue and you learn to interpret your own tongue to a certain extent. Limited extent. Says in verse 14, 15, 16. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the result? I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. Implying that you do have some understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen and you're giving our thanks? And so he exhorts us in verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now the instruction in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13 is on this side, personal interpretation. You can ask God to reveal to you the dimension of what you're praying about. Now remember, it's interpretation, not necessarily translation. Right? There's a difference. And interpretation flows with and could be summarized. Like you notice in Daniel, in the Old Testament, the handwriting on the wand, mene mene tekel upharsin. But Daniel gave a long interpretation. Four little words, long interpretation, because you got to explain the meaning. So it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. Mene mene tekel upharsin probably it just means, you know, measured, judge. That's it. But he has to interpret what is being measured, what is being judged. And personal interpretation. Now, the gift of interpretation of tongues is different. It's the ability that God gives when a message is being given in tongues to speak forth the interpretation of that message in God. Not everybody would have the gift of interpretation of tongues. And in a similar way, it's different. So why do we differentiate that? Because once we see the difference, here is it. The foundation to move in the gifts of the Spirit is through the human spirit. In quality and essence, when it occurs, it feels the same. But in power and anointing, it's different. For example, when you speak in tongues and pray in tongues to God personally, you do sense the Spirit flowing. What difference is it from a person who operates in the gift of tongues to speak to his God's people? They both don't know what they are saying. They are both speaking supernaturally. But the direction is different. One towards God, one from God towards the people. So as far as a person speaking, they are just yielding to God. That's why I say in quality and essence, it feels the same. But in terms of operation, it's totally different. And why do we have that? Because once you understand this side, you can understand this side easier. And the reason a lot of Christians don't move in the gifts of the Spirit is because they haven't trained their human spirit. In Romans 1, Paul says that he, through his spirit, and I close with that little verse there. In Romans 1, Paul says, see how important the human spirit is. He says that in verse 11, says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. But if you look at how he imparted in verse 9, it says, God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit. Small s. So Paul knows the difference between your human spirit and the Holy Spirit. And he knows that the human spirit, when it's fully trained, when the Holy Spirit comes on him, he can operate through him. The two. The Holy Spirit. So that's where we are in this section here. Right. Let's thank God in that. Father, praise God.